You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Are y'all ready for the Word of God this morning? We are finishing up a series called Keeping It Old School. Have y'all enjoyed this series? It is the longest series we've ever done, but I felt like the Lord was just challenging me to not just give us sermons that sound good, because those things are really, I mean, they're really good, they're catchy. Like, I love great titles. Like, in fact, my title for today is Here Comes the Boom. Like, Here Comes the Boom. Like, I love that. Y'all don't like it? Write your own title down. Or come up here next week and do this. But no, so the thought is, Here Comes the Boom. Like, I love titles because they stick in my mind. My mind works in stories and pictures. And so the way that God has wired me is everything is like this running movie. And we've been keeping it old school by going and just studying out biblical truths that we sometimes set aside. And in week number one, we talked about the fact in John chapter 5, it says that you focus on the scriptures thinking that they bring you eternal life, but all scriptures point back to me. That's what it says in John chapter 5. And what we laid in week number one, because we're finishing out this week, because we can't stay here forever. I've got other things that are really exciting, like Here Comes the Boom! But sorry. So we started off by saying Jesus is the beginning of all things. Everything is built on him. That's what we started with, and we started with the Word of God. And today, we are finishing our series talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we laid a foundation, and we said that we wanted to get rid of all the silliness, we want to get rid of the spooky, and we just wanted to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. So the reason why we're ending our series with the Holy Spirit is because the series began with Jesus. We talked about the Word of God, and when Jesus went to heaven, he said, I'm leaving you a gift. The Holy Spirit. And so we're going to end this series, Leaving with Power. Here Comes the Boom. See the title? And then you get the, and you tag them together. Like, oh, I love scripture. And so we're going to leave this series with leaning into God's power. Okay? And so that's the reason why Jesus said, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit, is because he knew that we needed a little bit more power. Everybody in the back, can you see your notes, or do you need a little bit more light? If you need a little bit more light, say light, please. Perfect. More light. More light. So the I'm just going to remind you of what we said last week. Last week, we said that there's an old school rhythm to our relationship with God. You'll find it on your notes. We said that the Word of God is alive, it's active, and must be received. We said that all of us through salvation must be immersed into the family of Christ. Then the rhythm happens. We are baptized. That is, we go liquid with our faith. We said that our authentic worship and dedication to God the Father has to leak out. That's what we said throughout the course of the series. And so we have to go liquid with our faith. People have to see that we serve Jesus and we're not ashamed of it. So we have to go liquid. So one of the ways that we do that, we get baptized. We say, Jesus, you changed me. I'm going for you. My life has changed. I'm all in. So we go liquid. And then the final thing is we said that we have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, to give you just some things that we said last week, if you weren't here, what we did was last week we took out the spooky. We talked about how so many times the myth is that the Holy Spirit is tongues. And we said, well, is Amazon a digital book company? No. Amazon is the machine that gives us so many different gifts. Are you with me? Anybody else got Amazon Prime? You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all really order just books? No. Last week, I ordered a speaker system. I think I've ordered stuff for my car. I have book subscriptions, video subscriptions. I think I might be even able to order food. Why? Because they are the source with many resources. And so when we just put the Holy Spirit in what we've seen through our churches or what we see on TV, we're missing who the person of the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, now, just so you know, he does have gifts. And they do include tongues, and they do include faith, and they do include administration. And so what I don't want us to do is I don't want us to fear what we've seen. I want us to be able to receive the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about that last week, and that's where we showed the rhythm, is that the rhythm says we receive God's word. By receiving God's word, Lord Jesus, I want you. I want to be in relationship with you. I receive Jesus. I'm going to look with my faith. Then what? Jesus said, hey, I got a little something extra for you. Here comes the boom. I tied it in again, y'all. Y'all quiet this morning. Y'all know I'm going to be loud for no reason. You know I'm going to try to be funny whether you laugh or not. So today is not the day to be quiet. Do we need to go through spiritual calisthenics on the count of three? Say amen. I rolled my eyes at some people. My mama used to say, if you roll those eyes at me again, I'm going to punch you and they're going to roll back. Seriously, right now my eye twitches. It was because of my mom's right hook. Like seriously, so if I'm talking to you and I'm just blinking, it's my mama. So the next time she's here, just look at her and say, you did this to our pastor. It'll freak her out and it'll be my response to my prayers. Get her, Lord. Do this to me. We have two fears that we addressed last week. We said we have two fears. Our fear is that you won't live with or in the power of God. Jesus said it's available for you. You and I, we can be Christians and live without the Holy Spirit and without his power. How frightening would that be to just exist knowing that there is a resource for us to see God do miracles, signs, wonders, powers, being in his presence. And let's go, we don't want that because of the spooky side. No, the fear is that we would not even know who he is. That's where that verse came from that I said to you, there arose a generation that didn't know who he was or didn't even know anything about his power. They had never experienced his power. And they said that in the book of Judges. And here we are hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, and that verse can ring true, that you and I could be in God's house, come to church every single week, and not even experience his power. That's a frightening thing to know that power, miracles can rest in your house, that you can pray for your friends, and they get healed, delivered, set free, whatever it is that you're praying for, calmness in your home, renewal in your mind, and not experience any of that, but go to heaven. How disappointing would it be to just go through life on a bumpy road and feel like you tricked me, Damon, when you told me Jesus was good, when you told me that I'd enjoy him being in my life? How good would it be for us to accept Jesus and feel disappointed? How good would it be to feel like we're always under attack? But Jesus is like, but I got you the power, but you never checked it out. Or didn't put him to use. That's a fear that we have as pastors, is that our church would be powerless. And those exist, just so you know. Second fear was that you won't know the person of the Holy Spirit. This is the reason why we dealt with the myth last week. It's because the person of the Holy Spirit is pure. And so when you looking at your notes there, you'll find three blanks. The Holy Spirit is a person. First and foremost, when Jesus was talking, he said, I'm going to give you the gift. He's going to speak what I say because I hear what the Father says. So everything that he says, he's just going to declare it to you. So he kept saying, he, I'm sending you the helper, and then he will. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal of your salvation. The Holy Spirit is the seal of your salvation. The minute you say, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life, the Holy Spirit says, here I go. Boom! He comes in, seals your salvation. The Holy Spirit, watch now, lives inside of you right now. So you can walk and you can say, I am a Christian, I am a believer. Here's what Ephesians chapter says. It says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The same thing Jesus said, I promise you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows you to say, Jesus, you're mine. I said it this week, last week, you know, the Heinz ketchup label, we know that it's ketchup on the inside. I don't think anybody in here has ever squeezed the Heinz ketchup label and mustard's come out. Anybody? If so, you need to return that quick. You need a refund. But you know what's the content based on the label. And so you are God's. You cannot be pulled away. Now, you can drift. You can say, I don't want you no more. That's on you. But the Holy Spirit seals you. And you can say, Jesus, I'm yours. So the Holy Spirit is the seal of your salvation. The third thing we said last week is the Holy Spirit is a helper. And when you look at the word helper, here's what it means. Comforter, counselor, pleads one's case before a judge, an advocate, an aide, an assistant, an intercessor. He leads people into a deeper relationship of who God is. He gives divine strength so that you can go through trials and situations. This is what Jesus said when he says, I'm sending you the helper, the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm sending you a person who has the total package. So can you imagine needing to make a decision on your job and you go, I'm trying to figure it out. Have you ever said that? I'm trying to figure this thing out. Why are you trying to figure it out? If we tap into the person of the Holy Spirit, right, we could go, Holy Spirit, right, can you help me figure this out? What does God the Father have on his mind? I don't know about you. I have made so many bad decisions because I made the decision. But the Bible clearly says that the Holy Spirit is praying for you right now. The Holy Spirit can be your assistant. I need a personal assistant right now. I wish the Holy Spirit could clean my kids' rooms. Holy Spirit, if you could just be here Thursday and Friday. But the Bible clearly says that spiritually the Holy Spirit is there to assist you, to help you. How many times do we do what the Holy Spirit is there to do for us? Just a question. Just a thought. Again, we push past that the Holy Spirit is just this. No, the Holy Spirit is the very person and essence of God the Father. Is this simple enough? So how does he help? The Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously. Just so you know, we're going back to last week to build up and finish up. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously. That was the first thing that's also on your notes. There's to be some blanks there. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously. Number two, the Holy Spirit empowers me to live supernaturally. So again, the Holy Spirit can do all the work if we allow him. This is the reason why when we come into God's house and we say, well, you know what, I just need to work on me for a while before I can. No. You come to God the way you are, and then the Holy Spirit empowers you to live righteously. Then the Holy Spirit empowers you to live supernaturally. That's the reason why Jesus accepts us in our broken state and not our complete state. This is the reason why Jesus said, I didn't come for you religious folk. I came for the person that was lost. Because he said, if I come to the person that's lost, they're willing to accept me in their brokenness. But you religious people look at me only in the religious way. You thinking you're trying to please me by every religious thing that you're doing. Jesus is like, I prefer to hang out with the person that feels lost. Because they're more pliable. Right. So the Holy Spirit empowers you and I to live righteously, to live supernaturally. And the third thing is he empowers us to live on mission. Again, me personally, there have been times and seasons where I feel like I am outside of what I know God has called me to do. There have been times in pastoring City Place Church over the last 3 years where I'm like, God, for real? And all I hear the Holy Spirit saying is, what did I originally tell you to do? Why don't you take yourself out of the way and do what I asked you to do? Last year, our focus for the year was exponential. And we said that we are going to ask God for the character that's worthy of growth. Because I was like, this thing needs to grow. And because it's not growing the way I want, did you call me to Orlando? What are you doing? Y'all ever been there where you having this argument with the Lord? And I felt like the Lord said, well, the reason why you're looking at what you're looking at is because your butt's in the way. Is that too real? Your hiney's in the way. Sorry, it was like PG, the kids, some of the kids are in PG. No, he was like, Damon, as long as you do what you want to do, the results that you see will be based on your limitations. But if you will ask me for the character worthy of growth, then what will happen is that your church will be a pure place. And when I say your church, I mean the church I pastor here, but I also love coming here, right? So, and hopefully this is your church. So look, he said, if you let me lead, because I'm the one that said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. Yeah. So if you would move yourself out the way and ask me for the character worthy of growth, then what you're really saying, Damien, is Holy Spirit, just lead me how you see fit. Right. So over the last year and a half, what we've been doing as pastors is, Lord Jesus, do what you want to do. So there's certain things that we want to do that we can't do yet because maybe the Lord said, I haven't supplied that in the house yet. So here's what we're going to do at City Place Church. The Holy Spirit is going to empower us to live as a church righteously. We are going to be a church that we live supernaturally. So when Taisha's given the challenge and she says, the Lord says, I'm like, I receive it. Why? Because we said, Holy Spirit, this is yours. Then the third thing is that we want to live on mission. God has designed you and called you to do something. You know what it is. Our assignment is to push you to that in God's house. Are you here? So we wrote this. We said that this was a note. We said, being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me a better me. So I don't have to make you feel bad. Because I say, the Holy Spirit said, or whatever it is. No, the Holy Spirit makes me a better me. This has nothing to do with you. It has to do with me. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me, and I need his power. I need to feel the boom. My situation needs to feel the boom. My family needs to feel the boom. My sickness needs to feel the boom. My finances, my work environment. It's about time things change. It's about time that some power come in. And you know who's going to release it? Me. I think it's time for you to drop the mic. I think it's time for you to go in your house and just drop the hammer and say, devil, no more. It's time to plug in. Are you with me? And here's the thing. There's nothing spooky about going, Holy Spirit, you know what? Empower my house. I wonder what would happen from now until the end of the year if we allowed ourselves to be filled with the Spirit of God and walk in its true boldness. I think we can see some things shift. So that brings me to today. So, Damon, you're talking about being filled with the Spirit. I am going against, and this is how I feel, like maybe I can answer some of these questions. I'm going against what I may have seen. I'm going against the tradition. I'm going against what I've watched on TV or what I've heard people say. And so I'm still fighting with that, Damon. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make being filled with the Spirit simple. Is that good? And I want you to throw aside everything else, being filled with the Spirit. I'm going to prove how cool he is based on what Jesus said. Can we do it? Yeah. And then we're going to get out of here, go to this meeting. And then if somebody wants to, just so y'all know, if y'all want to buy me lunch, I'm willing to go with you. Why y'all laughing? I said that with a straight face. I'm just kidding. I know, right? John chapter 20. Okay, John chapter 20, and here's what's cool. So I want to set the context. I'm going to read three passages of scripture, and in your mind, I want you to imagine hanging out with a group of people, having a conversation, and then everyone who was in the circle having their version of the story, okay? It's like you go to a concert, you go to a game, and let's just say that it's Michael Jordan because it's old school, LeBron James, yeah. So I'm just kidding. Or maybe it's your favorite concert artist, and you went with your friends, and then someone says, "How was it?" And then you say, "Oh my goodness! So look, it was like this." And then before you could finish your sentence, someone says, "Well, look, I got you. But look, what you should have said was, I'm going to read two passages of scripture. It's the same three passages of scripture. It's the same story, but I'm going to give you two spokesmen." All right, so imagine me. Come here, Aaron. Come here real fast. Come here. Last time I hugged you. Last time you up here, I hugged you really. You remember that? Okay. I didn't know if you would say yes. Because the last one was a little awkward.
I got you.
But you feel comfortable?
I know you long enough.
You know me long enough. Okay, perfect. Perfect. You feel comfortable that we're there. So imagine that Aaron and I are hanging out. And we've gone to this event. In fact, we're all here, like so right here. And so I tell the part of the story, and then Naren's going to tell the part of the story. So the text that we're going to read is going to be John and Luke.
What?
What? You're not going to read it?
I'm going to try.
Okay. So we got John and we got Luke. All right? So John was a disciple. Luke, just so you know, hung out, but he was a doctor. Okay, he was a doctor. So what I'm going to have to do, if I do this well, I'm going to tie in John's perspective. John is going to stop cold turkey. Luke is going to pick up the same environment. Don't worry, I'm not going to have you leave. He's going to pick up the read. He has the same environment, but he doesn't mention all that John mentioned, but Luke goes into greater detail, almost as if he was writing a doctor's report. Did you see? So one is like, hey, you should have seen this. And then the doctor says, well, in order for everyone to get the full context, they must understand that it was on Thursday when they came in, and you cannot miss this detail because this is vital to making sure that what we diagnosed, everyone understands, because if we miss this part, we may not be able to get the treatment that's required.
Correct.
Perfect, Dr. Luke. I think you're more like John, because you just said correct. You were supposed to go into great detail.
You're absolutely right.
Perfect. Perfect. And so here's the imagery that I want you to see. I want you to see this imagery as we are talking. In the story, Jesus is actually in a room full of disciples. But the stories that we're about to read are two people. Got it? You got the imagery in your mind? All right. Thank you, Naren. John says this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be still. I love that. The doors were closed. Jesus went through the wall, y'all. That is great. I love it. Sorry. And so I love the fact that he said, peace be still, after he had frightened them. Verse 20, then it says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Watch this last part, verse 22. He says, and when he said this to them, he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. Watch. Pause. Luke is in the room, but John is talking. Jesus dies, raises from the dead. When Jesus dies, raises from the dead, salvation is now beginning to begin. All right? He looks at them and he says, oh, do you know what you need? You need to be sealed. Receive the Holy Spirit. Watch now. He didn't say, you just take it. He said, watch. He said, receive the Holy Spirit because this is the seal that you have encountered me after I have died and rose from the dead. Are you with me? So watch. You and I, when we accept Jesus, we receive the fact that he died and rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit steps into our life. It's the same thing that happened in the book of John. Jesus said, I have to begin the process because as you go out and minister on my behalf, you have to carry what I've been carrying and you have to be sealed just like they'll be sealed. Otherwise, it's just a story to tell. So they accept Jesus literally. This is really cool. In person. But Jesus died and rose from the dead. He didn't give them the Holy Spirit while he was just doing the miracles. He did say the same power that I have. You will go, you will go, you will go. You will do miracles. You will do signs and wonders. Go freely, you receive freely, you give. In Matthew chapter 10, he did that. But in John, later on in John, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing in Genesis when Jesus, when God the Father created man in his own image. The Bible says but there was a separation from Adam when Adam sinned. So in order to get the movement started, Jesus said, it's fresh. Salvation is here. The charge is about to go. So John tells the story of Jesus walked in the room. He frightened everybody. Jesus showed us his hands. He showed us his side. He showed us that he did die and he rose from the grave. And then he breathed on us and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He sealed us in our relationship. Look at what Luke says. Luke says this in Luke chapter 24, verse 23. And we're going to read 36, and then we're going to go down to 44. It says, then this. Jesus said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in Psalms must be fulfilled. So here's what's really cool. Jesus says, just so you know, I have been around since the beginning. I've been in the Word since the beginning. Remember, I read to you John chapter 5, where you think the scripture gives you eternal life. No, scripture points you back to me. That's week number one. Jesus proves the fact that I've been around. They've been talking about me since the Old Testament. Just so you know, I've been around the whole time. And Jesus says, now everything that I was teaching you because it had to be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Remember we said the rhythm. The rhythm is that you have to receive God's word. We said that the rhythm of old school is that you have to receive God's word. So here it is. Jesus is risen from the dead, and Jesus is breaking down scripture to the disciples. Remember I told you that Luke gives you the perspective of a doctor. John just said he came in the room. John said he came in the room. He showed us his hands and his side. Shows his feet, and then he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Luke says, hey, wait a second. I was at the concert too. Jesus actually came in the room, and Jesus started talking about scripture. Are you with me? You hanging with me? It's in greater detail because we have to get the full push of why Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So Luke says, he opened our minds, their minds, to the understanding of scripture, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and would die and would rise from the dead on day three. It was also written that this Messiah would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things, and now I send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. Pause. John says, receive the Holy Spirit. We got it. Luke says, but wait. Not only did he fill us with the Holy Spirit, he said, you should wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Huh? This is the reason why the Holy Spirit seals us, and there's a little something extra. Luke says, you can't leave out all the details. Jesus said, after he prayed for everyone and said, receive the Holy Spirit, he says, but then there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the power part of the Holy Spirit that you and I have to get as well. Luke could have said, yep, you said it right. But Luke is like, don't leave out the part where he said that we need to wait a little while longer for the actual gift of the Spirit, the boom. We need the boom. Why didn't Jesus just give it all? Well, you're going to get a chance to choose. You get to choose whether you want to walk with the person and in the power. That's the reason why Luke said, he told us to wait. Listen, there was 120 in the room. The Bible doesn't say if there was a few more that were welcomed into the room. 120 were like, we ain't going nowhere because he said it. I'm going to show you. So we have received the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. And then Jesus says, now, I got a little something extra because the Holy Spirit has so much more. So what he said was, I'm placing the seed inside of you. Now, I want you to want to know him more. But I want you to wait for him because he's coming in full boom when I go. Y'all with me? Watch. Acts chapter 1. This is also Luke. Luke continues on, so he writes his own book, and then he gets to Acts chapter 1, and this is what's really, really cool, because I'm going to drop four things your way, and then we're going to be done. But I have to set the tone. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says this, and it may be on the screen, or we might just have the last part. I want to read from verse 1. It says, in my former book, this is Luke, he wrote the book of Acts, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up from heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak of. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you will receive power, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the world. Acts chapter 1, we see this trigger word, baptize with the Holy Spirit. Luke gives an account. But this time, when Luke is in the book, I mean, when Luke is writing, he's almost writing a letter to a friend. He says, Theophilus, just so you know, I had written the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, I detailed the experience that I saw when Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, but now I want to go a little bit deeper because I didn't put everything in that story. He said, I got a little something extra because I made some additional notes. And he said, I just want you to know that I heard Jesus say that if they go to this place and they wait, that the power that they get, that they will become witnesses of who he was. That if they would just come and wait, that they themselves will have power. When he wrote it in Luke, he said that they would just receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But when Luke got to the book of Acts, he described it in more detail and said that you'll have power. So if you're waiting, there's a boom that will hit. Because you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But he said that this is the gift of being able to be a witness for Jesus. I love the fact that he said it's a witness for Jesus. If you and I were in a trial and I called a witness, you would have proof of my innocence or my guilt. Because you would have experienced or seen something that I had done. And he says that when the power and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be bold enough to declare that Jesus Christ is all that he said he was. You will be able to be a witness. What does that mean? You're an advocate. You could literally say, I can pray for you based on what Jesus did. I'd like to pray for you today because I feel like I got a little bit of extra power. We see that in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John are going to the temple. They said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. I don't have the money, but I got the boom. And the Bible says that they grabbed the lame man, lifted his hand up. It's amazing because Peter, days earlier, had denied Jesus. I don't know him. Want nothing to do with him. Started cussing. Receive the Holy Spirit, Peter. Wait a few days, Peter. You'll be bold for me. Peter, without the Holy Spirit, says, I don't want nothing to do with him. Peter tapped into the Spirit of God, goes, yo, what I got, you need. This morning as we leave, I would love it if you and I would be comfortable enough to say, Holy Spirit, I need you like never before. Here's four things that I want to give you. This is how. This is easy. First thing is we got to remove the barriers. We got to remove the barriers. That's the first thing. Remove the barriers in your life. Some of it is sin. Some of it is fear. Some of it is we just didn't know that the Holy Spirit was a person. We thought that he was kind of spooky. He's not. He's a person. So we want to remove the barriers. The second thing is that we want to request the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'd love to have you. Luke chapter 11, Jesus is talking. He says, if then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Holy Spirit, I need your power. I need more. I love Jesus makes it simple. He just says, hey, just ask the Father who gives good gifts. Third thing, receive him by faith. Remember, he sealed you. What we're asking the Holy Spirit is, Lord, I'd like to have my relationship with you, and I'd like to walk in your power. I want to know who you are. And then the last thing is that we want to relate to him every day. We want to relate to him every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 says that it is the extravagant love of God and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit that should be with us all. He's a friend. I wrote this thought. I was thinking about it. It says, God's Spirit is necessary because I'm weak without him. I'm weak, y'all, without the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, I'm weak. That's just it. I'm weak.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.